Psalms 92, verse 10. The psalmist said, "But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eyes also shall see my desire on the mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar of Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God, for they shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. We ask, God, you touch this house with your anointing, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Would you shake your neighbor's hand, look him right now, and say, "Hey, you're beautiful, and I'm glad to see you in the house of the Lord." I appreciate, Jason, that you turned to that young lady and didn't say nothing to Brad. That was a wise thing to do. Glory. I had a couple didn't do nothing, but they were, you know, they'd rather be honest and be obedient. Glory. I won't say who it was. You know, I really like that 13th verse. Or the 14th verse. That's going to become one of my favorite verses in the Bible. "For they shall still bring forth fruit in old age, they're fat and they're flourishing." Glory. I like that. That resembles me. Glory. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about the anointing. Something I think that everybody in the church world discusses to some extent, especially Pentecostal churches. Now, in 1 Corinthians 1:21, "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God." Amen. There's a lot of talk about the anointing, some good, some bad. A lot of it's confusing. Hello? You go one place, they tell you one thing. Go another place, they tell you something else. And mainly because a lot of the things we've brought up to believe sometimes about the anointing was never in the Bible. We just went with it. If it happened, we thought, well, that's biblical. It's going to happen every time. But it doesn't always happen that way. You know, I had a preacher one time thought that because he got the Holy Ghost one way, everybody got the Holy Ghost, had to get the Holy Ghost that way. It's not going to work that way. We're not the same emotional makeup. We don't all react the same way when something touches us. And so, therefore, we're going to react differently. I'm outwardly emotional. So, therefore, when I get touched, I'm going to get outwardly emotional. Last Tuesday, I was having my teeth cleaned. The light fell, hit me on the side of my chin, and burnt me, and I got emotional. I come up out of that, whoa! I come out of that chair, and that girl said, "What's the matter? It's not that, whoa!" Because she grabbed it and realized it was that hot. She was going to tell me it wasn't that hot, but see, the part that wasn't hot didn't hit me. It flipped on the way down. You know, it's just the way it is. That's the way my luck goes. I'm one of the few people that could be in a place where it was raining cats and dogs, and the dog bowl would hit me. Glory. Hello? Somebody said, "Well, now you speak that into existence." Y'all been around me for 6 years. Can I not find more ways to do stuff wrong? Hello? I'm one of the few people you know can break his arm at a softball game and I'm not even playing. Those of you wasn't here, don't even ask. Glory. The reality is that that's just the way it is. But we have so many talking about good and bad, ugly. What you see, to trust is to covet the idea of being anointed. Amen. In other words, we need to have a desire for the anointing of God. Amen. We need that anointing of God to touch our lives and to make us extensions of Him. And that is what we're here for. Can I say, Karen, amen on that? I've said this 100,000 times, this church, but God didn't leave you here to get blessed. And if you're still doing that and you think that's the only reason why you're here for the wrong reason. Amen. Oh, I come to church to get blessed. Well, that's not why we're here. We're here to worship Him. We're here to lift Him up. We're here to magnify Him. In the end results, we get anointed to do what? Go tell the world about a God that can touch the needs of their life, not just ours. And in the outcry, God blesses us because we're doing something. But if all He was going to do was bless us, He'd just take us on when we got saved. I'm not going to get anything down here going to compare what I'm having over yonder. Come on, church. Amen. I could be like the preachers preaching in Buell one night, and he's walking around talking about he didn't want nothing he had. And he turned and gave a guy his car keys, pitched another in his house keys. And at the church, I said, man, did you see that? And I said, well, yeah, both of them belong to his brother-in-law. They ain't his to begin with. Glory. I mean, you want my car, you can have it. Belongs to a bank and me. Mostly to the bank. Hello? Y'all want them payments? You can have it. Somebody the other day said, boy, I wish I had your house. I said, well, how bad do you want it? I've never been to the point I couldn't sell something. Hello? Amen. But church, the reality is we need to be hungry for the anointing of God. One of the problems we have in the church world is we've become satisfied with being dissatisfied. We've come to the place where we just listen to some preacher say, well, the anointing is not what it used to be, and God's Spirit doesn't move like it used to. And can I tell you that is not scriptural? My Bible said in Him there is no invariableness, neither is there shadow of turning. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, His power and His anointing is just as real now as it's ever been. What's happened is we have lost a hunger for God, but if we begin to hunger for Him, the Bible said, blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they are the ones who will be filled. Anointing means to rub on, to smear oil on, to become a part of. See, just to get an anointing on the outside isn't good enough. You need an immersion where it totally covers you, fills you, takes over you. Amen. Listen, few things the anointing is. First of all, you're anointed to an office. Secondly, you're anointed to service. Thirdly, you're anointed for battle. Last but not least, you're anointed to worship. Amen. All the temple items were anointed so they would be there to be used in worship of God. And we need to understand that's where it is. There's a recipe for the anointing oil found in the book of Exodus chapter 30, verse 22 through 33. First of all, there was myrrh, which speaks of Calvary's love. Secondly, is cinnamon, which is a burning zeal. Third is the fragrant of Cain. Grow erect, holy, righteous living. Last is, fourth is cassia. It's the stoop down, to be submissive, to have humility. And last is the oil, which is pressed from the olive. That means you got to get in times where you're pressed and pressure gets in your life. And that's what's wrong with so many people today. We don't want to go through the fiery furnace. We want to bypass the furnace. But it's in the furnace we really learn how to live for God. It's in that furnace that we go through the pressing time, and the olive oil's oil begins to come out and get in our life. And the real anointing takes place when we go through stuff in this world. Could you say amen? Amen. Three things we need to know. When they made the anointing oil, there was always a lot. It was always expensive, but it also carried a powerful aroma. There was no mistake when you had been anointed. Come on, church. So what are you talking about? When they poured that stuff on you, you didn't have to tell nobody you was anointed. They could smell you coming. Lord, hello? Church, can I tell you, when somebody really gets anointed, nobody has to tell you they're anointed. Come on, church. I mean, I know great writers that can't preach. I went to hear one time and went to sleep. I mean, I read every book the man's ever wrote. Now, probably, I don't know, he may have a couple out lately that I don't have, but I probably got every book the man ever wrote, all the way back to the first book he ever published. And I went to hear him because I was excited, because I love to read his stuff. I got to church, he went to preaching, and all of a sudden this guy bumped me, and I said, what is it? He said, you're snoring. I said, oh, excuse me. Lord. I mean, I was trying to listen and couldn't. there was no anointing. Had a lot of knowledge, but no anointing. Come on, church. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about when the real anointing comes? There is no doubt that it's there. Amen. What does anointing do? In Exodus chapter 30, it makes you holy. Exodus chapter 40 makes you a covenant with God. Leviticus chapter 7 releases you to minister. In Leviticus 8, it's the sacrifice. Leviticus 10, it is not to be taken lightly. And in Isaiah, it said that it is the yoke. And it is that that breaks the yoke of bondage. It sets the captive free. It's the anointing. Can I tell you what we need in the church is anointing that will start breaking down the bondage. It's got some people bound. Oh, well, they got stains of sin. No, sin's a chain. It's not a stain. And it's got to be broken. And it takes the power, the grace of God through the anointing to break that bondage and to set the captive free. Several years ago, I read a book. And there was a story in there called, Why Doesn't the Fire Fall Here Anymore? Used to, in one of our great parks, I think it was Yellowstone or Yosemite, it was one of them, they would actually take all the trees that had fell and the wood that had fell in the woods, and they would push it up in a pile on top of a big old mountain. And once a year, they'd light it all up, get it burning good, and then they'd push it off the mountain. And people would gather from all over on that particular night to watch that fire fall off that mountain down those rocky slopes into that river underneath. And it would let it lay there on that slope and burn till it was gone. So they would watch that fire all over the side of that mountain till it was gone. They had a problem. They noticed that by doing so, they stopped almost all the wildfires during the year in the forest. But they also noticed that the trees died and nobody took their place. And they began to research and they found out that God was smarter than they give him credit for being. See, when the seed of those trees fell, it's wrapped in a crustacean, a shell. And without the fire to heat the shell to make it pop open, the seed couldn't get out to get in the ground to bring in new trees. So without the fire, there was nothing to get new seed planted. And without new seed, there was no new growth. Amen. Come on, church. Smile at me. Some of you looking at me like a cat looking at a new gate. The truth of the matter is, the reason we're not seeing a lot of growth in our churches is there's no new growth. We're living off old trees with nothing new happening because we can't get a real fire going. Somebody said, well, we don't want a wildfire. Hey, that'll still break some of the shells and it'll get some seed out so we can see something new gone. And I'll be honest with you, you ain't got to worry about wildfire. There's enough wet blankets to put it out around here. Amen. What we need is a real fire of God to come down and to get into this place and to set us on fire, to break the hard shell of sin that's around some hearts and bring them to an altar with a seed of God's love so we can see growth and we can see power and we can see anointing in the house of the Lord. James tells us it's the anointing that helps heal the sick. James, John also said it abides in truth and takes us where we need to go. Because if we'll follow him, he'll lead God and direct us into all truth. Could you say amen? The anointing oil of the Old Testament represented the Holy Spirit. Today, it was an extension. David cried, cast me not away and take not thy spirit from me. Somebody said, what's he talking about? David, when he messes up, realizes God's not with him anymore, and suddenly he goes back to thinking about what happened when he was a young man and they anointed him king and they were singing songs about him. David has killed his 10,000, Saul his thousands, because although Saul looked like the king and Saul wore the crown of the king and Saul rode the horse of the king and Saul went to bed in the palace of the king, he had lost the anointing that made him king. And David already knew, I've got the anointing in my life. And now David said that the anointing's gone, and he looks up to God and say, don't take away your anointing, cast me not away, but restore to me the joy of my salvation. God, one more time, pour out an anointing in my life that I can continue to do what you've called me to do. The thing about the anointing, and the title of the message tonight is The Anointing of God. From the letter R. Number one, the anointing has to be real. I say, preacher, what are you talking about? I want the real anointing. The Bible tells me in the book of Exodus 31, 32, that of the anointing oil, there is no substitute. Church, we have been taught there's all kind of things. Come on, church. Y'all may not have this, and y'all may not understand this, but I've seen Pentecost when it was abused by pastors. I was with a preacher one time. He leaned over. He said, I got to be in Mobile at 9 o'clock tonight. We can't have church long. Next thing you know, he got up, got people shouting, called it the anointing, prayed for a few people, and left the church. Now, most of those folks, they were hoodwinked into thinking that's what was going on. I knew different because I knew what he told me before he took over the service. Come on, church. How many times have we got to singing Granny's favorite song and somebody got excited and lost it emotionally and started running aisle? Next thing you know, four or five other people joined them because it felt good and God wasn't in 1,000 miles of it. Oh, come on, y'all. Don't sit down on me when I'm preaching the truth. I know y'all don't like to hear it because y'all like it. But if all you're doing, sit down. Because if you don't tell somebody about God, you ain't got a right to walk these aisles and shout. Oh, come on, Charlie. That's good preaching. That just come right out. It ain't even in the notes. What we need is real stuff. You say, well, how you know it's real? When a real move of God hits this building, sinners won't sit there and look at you like nothing's going on. Hypocrites will feel bad because the convicting power of God will get on them, and they'll end up in our altars praying through to God. And in church, I don't tell you nothing. I don't want just an emotional stir. I don't want to jump around and shout and feel doodads. I want a move of God that'll break the yoke of bondage and set this church free. The anointing must be real. You can't substitute the anointing of God with works. You cannot substitute the anointing of God with talent or programs. My early ministry, I read a book. I don't even know if it's still out, called They Speak With Other Tongues. This man was writing for Life magazine. Any of you ever heard of Life magazine? Older folks do, but the younger folks ain't never heard of Life magazine much because I don't, unless it's back in print. The guy that owned Life magazine actually said, go study the charismatic movement. Write me an article against it. The man he sent to write the article had a doctorate degree in theology. He was his writer for religious stuff. He goes to write this article and he ends up in a little storefront building in New York. He goes in, he sits down, he said, there was about 40 or 50 folks there. Said they were singing and probably half of them were off key. He said they sang till they got to the chorus. And then they sang that chorus and they sang that chorus and they sang that chorus. And by the time I didn't think they could sing some more, they went to the next verse. And they sung that verse and then they sung the chorus four or five times. And he said, by the time they got through, I could sing the song and didn't even have a book. Glory. He said, next thing you know, they'd done it again. Said, finally they got through and said, this fella walked to the pulpit. He had bad English, bad grammar. Looked like he had a third grade education. He said, he opened the Bible and said, the Lord's given me a message for somebody tonight. The next verse blew my mind. Because come to find out that pastor did not have a third grade education. He dropped out of school in the second grade. He barely could read and write. But the next sentence in that book was, he spoke with a depth of scriptures I had never heard. You hear me, church? A doctorate of theology is getting his mind blown by a guy that barely got out of second grade. And he's getting blown because there's an anointing that's in that word that changed him. He wrote the article that became that book called They Speak With Other Tongues. He gave it to the owner of Life magazine. He said, this is ridiculous. This is not what I wanted. He said, it's the truth. He said, nah, we'll be here long after they're gone. And if you'll remember, in the late 60s, early 70s, Life magazine went out of business just a few years after. He said, we'll be here when they're gone. And I don't know if you notice it or not, but the charismatic movement's still here. Pentecost is still on the face of this earth, and people are still being filled with the anointing and the touch of God because it's real. It's the Spirit that gives life. Hello? You can't accomplish things in the flesh that you can accomplish in the spirit. But not only does the spirit need to be real, the spirit and the anointing must be rich. Elijah was asked by Elijah. When Elijah asked him, what do you want? In the 9th verse of the 2nd chapter, 2 Kings, and it came to pass that when they were gone over, that Elijah said to Elijah, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Say, well, that's being, what's the word I'm looking for? Gluttonous. Let's just use that word. No, it's not. Elijah realized you had a great ministry, Elijah. But this world's going downhill fast. And if I'm going to minister to the same place, I got to have twice as much as you had. Come on, church. Amen. What are you talking about? He understood that to do a ministry like Elijah, he needed more than what Elijah had, because he was going to be fighting against more of the enemy that was pouring into this world. And he said, I don't want what you got. I want a double portion of what you got. I want the anointing in me so bad that everything happened to you is going to happen to me, but more. I want to be so anointed. And it actually came to pass that when he died, they buried him through a man in his grave, and the dude came back to life just touching the bones of that man of God that had the double portion on him. Church, we don't need what grandpa used to have, and we don't need what used to be in the church. We need an anointing for 2015 that'll come down and touch us and be an outpouring to help us move in the day in which we're living. My granddaddy was one of my heroes. When I first got in the ministry, I would go and preach, and he'd go with me. I never forget, he went up to his pastor one time. It just so happened his pastor preached a sermon similar to the one I'd preached a week before, and he ran up to him, and he said, you preached my grandson's sermon this morning. He was pastoring a big church, and thank goodness he knew me, so he didn't hold it against me. Next time I seen him, he said, I hear you've been getting my notes. I said, I ain't been getting them, but if you'll mail them, I'll use them. Glory. Hello? I'm not picky. Amen. But the reality is, church, that my granddaddy was my hero. Many of you, if you've read the history of the Church of God, you understand that in the early beginnings of the 1900s, there was a tent revival held in Gadsden, Alabama. They were so against Pentecost in the town of Gadsden that they went out and arrested the pastor and burned his tent down. They put him in jail. His name was Buckaloo. I'll be honest with you, church. If you read that guy's history, you find out me and him had a lot in common. When he first started in the ministry, if you said something to him he didn't like, he'd talk you out to the tent, whoop you, and bring you back in and pray you through. Glory. I'm not like that anymore. I'm not like Brother Moxley over in Georgia when he started his church. He said, this fella come in. He said, we're going to do it my way or it's not going to be done. Brother Moxley said, come on out back, sir. And they went out back, and he said, after I whooped him, he realized I could do it my way, and said, you know, he's been in my church ever since. Glory. He said, now I prayed through fellas, but back then I didn't know a whole lot better. Glory. Hello. I've never whooped anybody as a Christian. I thought about it, but I've never done it. And don't look at me like that. I'm at least being honest. But Brother Buckaloo, according to history, actually did that. But he got put in jail, and they were so afraid because the people stood around the jail that night singing. They weren't sure what they were going to do, so they let him go the next morning. The next morning, he goes down, looks at the tent, it's burnt. Everything's just about gone. He calls a meeting. They pray that afternoon. They have church that night. And we have a church down called the Cathedral of Praise. Just changed the name to the City Church of Alabama City. Amen. It was called Alabama City Church of God. Then became Cathedral of Praise. Now it's City Church. But that church was one of the first, if not the first, Church of God's in Alabama. And they was on that tent that night that he prayed. He preached. He gave an altar call. call. A little 12-year-old boy went to the altar and got saved. And 85 years later, at the age of 97, my granddad died sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost for 85 years. He was my hero. He could pray like you ain't never seen somebody pray. He loved God, served God. And I'll never forget, I was at his house one night and I was in the living room and I just stopped to kind of rest. I drove from Florida and was starting revival at Rainbow City the next morning. I was on my knees praying. Two reasons I was praying. One was the greeting I got. I knocked on the door. He opened the door, stuck a gun against my head. I said, "Papa." He said, "Boy, you get killed knocking on somebody's door this time of the morning. That'll make you pray." But I got in there and I laid down, tried to go to sleep, and I was wound up from driving and all the other excitement that happened when I got there. And I just got up, started praying. I was down there praying, and I'll never forget. I said, "God, give me my pawpaw's anointing. Let me feel your presence like he had for all these years." I heard footprints on the floor. Somebody's hand hit the back of my head, said, "Boy, you don't need what I had and what I got. You need more than I ever thought about getting. There's a world outside that's a lot worse than anything I've ever dealt with. And you got to have an anointing to break the yoke and to set them free." Church, we need a richness of the anointing of God in the house of the Lord. And we need that anointing like never before. Hunger for the power of God. Could you say amen? Notice this. Not only has it got to be real and rich, but it's got to be released. In the last day, in the day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Say what? You don't hoard it. You can't put it up and keep it. You can't get a blessing on Sunday and hang on to it the next Sunday and hope that's all you got to have. You can't get blessed Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and share it with nobody, because after a while, your cup gets full and he'll quit pouring out. But if you want to flow, let it flow. Let the Spirit of God come to you, go through you and out to those around you, and it'll be a continual flow, a release of the Spirit of God, that you become the conduit to get it to other people. You become that pipe that he runs the flow through, and the enjoyment of knowing that it's going to keep coming and it's going to keep coming. You say, "Give me scripture." The Bible said daily they went back to the temple. Daily they got refilled with the Holy Ghost, and daily they took into the church those that were saved. We need that in the house of God today, a releasing of the Spirit that'll reach souls every day and move in there. Like Mary, you got to break the container and said, "I'm not holding on to this. I'm letting go. And the more I let go of, the more he's going to give me." Oh, come on, church. That's good preaching. Amen. Listen, the release comes. Notice what it says in Ezekiel chapter 47, 11. "But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed, for they shall all be given to salt." Now, in the 47th chapter, you read the first through the 10th verses, you're going to hear him talking about a vision that Ezekiel had. And he said, "I saw a river, and I went out and measured it, and I measured a certain length, and it was ankle high. And I measured again, and it was knee deep. And I measured again, and it was up to my waist. And I measured again, and it was up to my shoulders. And I measured again, and it was a river that I had to swim in. And I measured again, and it was a river I could not cross." He was talking about the anointing. It starts out as a small stream when you get touched by God, but it begins to flow deeper and deeper and deeper until you get to that place. There is so much anointing around you, no one can get across it, no one can get to you because of the anointing. And church, that is the kind of anointing we need. But the true anointing also has to be received. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" Jesus was anointed. He prayed over the disciples for them to be anointed. Do you ever notice Judas never got that anointing? Because he never received that anointing. How many people who have been exposed to the anointing of the Spirit of God have never really received it into their life? They talk about it, they commute about it, but they never really let the real anointing into their life. Hello? It's got to be received. we try so hard to get something God's trying to give us. If somebody gives you a Christmas present, you don't have to keep asking for it. You just take the present, you open it, and you receive it. You don't have to keep begging God for the Holy Ghost. I remember we was in the campgrounds one night, and I was walking along with, oh, man, his name was on my mind, and he just run right by me. Lord, y'all know how that happened. He was an evangelist from Texas. And we were standing there, and there's this guy praying in the altar at the old campground. And he was, oh, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. And Dennis Boggs walked up to him. I knew I'd get that name in a minute. Dennis walked up to him, and he said, sir, if you just close your eyes and just begin to praise him in your mind and let your mind go to God, God will fill you. He's trying to start walking off. That guy about snatched his coat off of him, spun around, said, hey, I've been seeking the Holy Ghost 20 years. Don't you tell me how to get him. Glory. I remember we walked outside. Dennis looked at me and he said, I'm not going back over there. I don't want my curtain door. Glory. The reality is we have to receive. That means we just open up our heart and say, God, I am here. I am a vessel. This is your gift. Let me receive your gift. And we make a science out of it when really we just have to receive. Come on, church. I had a brother saw the Holy Ghost for 2 years. I'll never forget. You remember when he used to have the big old heel shoes me and wore? Ah, oh, come on. Some of y'all ought to remember back in the 70s when men had them old big heels on the back of their shoes. Well, I mean, we was cool. We was rednecks, but we'd go get them shoes so we'd look nice. And he was down the altar praying one night, and all of a sudden he started crying. I said, Freddie, what's going on? I said, God, whatever you got to do. I said, he shortened one of my legs, and the heel had come off his shoe. I shouldn't have said who it was because he comes up every once in a while. But the reality is that's where we are. We think there's so much trouble to it. But if we can just let go, God can fill us with the power, the grace, the glory of his Holy Ghost. But notice this. This is what we need to hear. It not only needs to be received, but it must be renewed. We keep talking about renewal. God, we need a renewal in the church. And we do. We need to get back to realizing maybe I got the Holy Ghost 40 years ago. But there's a fresher anointing. There's more anointing. Just as the New Testament church went back daily and got received more and more of God, we ought not be happy. I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, on my way to heaven, and I'm here. We ought to be saying, God, give me more. Give me more. Give me more. Give me more. Because the more I get in me, the more flows out of me, and the more moves into those that are around me, and the freshness of the anointing. Come on, church. Any ever smelt old oil? Oil's just been there for a while. I never forget, we was in Lynette, and they were building a new church in Lynette, Alabama. They moved it out. Matter of fact, it became known as, I think it was Faith Boulevard, and they had a church out there called Faith Temple, and that was the old Lynette church. I was at the parsonage, and the old church was next door, and they had hired a crew to tear that church down. And they were in there, and the paneling inside was beautiful paneling. And so they were pulling it off real easy so they could try to use it again. And the old pulpit was up there, and they'd moved the pulpit and trying to get the paneling off and pulled a piece of paneling off the front of the, y'all remember the old rails that used to be in churches? I mean, every church had them. They'd come up about that high and have board on the top, and it had some of that paneling. They was a good, it was enough to wainscot a room with it. So they were going to get it off, and they pulled that off, and I looked. And do y'all remember, we don't have one, but everybody used to just keep a regular bottle of extra virgin olive oil. I mean, it had the label on it and everything. They just had it up there, and that's what you anointed folks with, you know. And there was one of them bottles laying in there where it had fell off the pulpit. It somehow got down in that wall. That church had been there 40-something years, and they didn't tell how long that bottle had been there, but it was green. That oil's normally a kind of a light tan color. And all of a sudden, it's green. I went over and picked it up, and I'm looking at it. And me and the pastor standing there, and he said, man, that looks bad. I said, well, what it smells like? I pulled that top off that bottle. I set it down. Next thing you know, people was running, gagging. I took off out the building. We got out there. The construction people said, "You're going back in there and getting it. You the one that took the lid off of it." I said, "I'm not going back in there." And they said, "Unless somebody going to pay me extra money, I'm not going back in there." That was the most horrible smelling mess I ever heard in my life. I ever smelled my life. I ain't heard something I smell. I got all kind of great senses. I'm going to correct it for y'all, dude, because I know everyone of y'all is going, "He smelled something he heard." Glory. I'm sitting there, and it literally started coming out the door, and the pastor said, "Look, you got to go get that. It's getting worse." So I actually went in the building, held my breath, got the bottle, took it out there, and throwed it in the garbage. He said, "No, not there. Get it out of there. It'll mess up the whole house." I ended up having to put the cap on it. We took it out in the backyard and dug a hole and buried it. The reality is it was old oil. Can I tell you that there are people in the church got filled with the Holy Ghost 20 years ago. They've never tried to get refilled. They're living off last year's anointing, and they're wondering why there is no joy and there is no peace and there is no faith in their life. But listen what the psalmist said in the 92nd chapter of Psalms. It is a fresh anointing with fresh oil, and we need a renewing. We need a fresh anointing every day of our life with fresh oil, because oil breaks down, the viscosity loses. And you need some more. You need new results. When anointing with fresh oil in the 10th verse, the 11th verse, you recognize and defeat your enemies. In verse 12, saints are enriched and encouraged and they flourish. Trees are a symbol of strength and endurance. When that anointing's right in your life, any of y'all understand, if you ever been to the sea shore, like the Gulf Coast, after a hurricane's going through, and buildings are ripped apart, steel's twisted, boats are thrown around like nothing, and the palm trees are just standing there like nothing's going on. Because that palm tree is more rooted in the ground than there is out. And can I tell you, I think David knew what he was talking about when he said, "You'll be renewed like the palm tree." Amen. When you get a renewing of the oil, the strength of the palm tree becomes your way. Verse 13, planted with purpose, God will release a discovery in you. In the 14th verse, age is no barrier. Fruitfulness continues. Fullness continues. And in the 15th verse, God is glorified. All because of an anointing. We need a fresh anointing of God. We need a fresh outpouring. Church, I've never tried to be ashamed of the fact I'm Pentecostal. I've preached in camp meetings where they said, "Oh, we don't believe the way you do." I said, "It's not a problem. I'm still going to preach the way I preach, because I am who I am. And if you don't want it, you shouldn't have invited me." Hello? I've got one camp meeting that told me that the first time, and I've been back 7 times since then, and they're not Church of God. They're not even Pentecostal in most cases, even though everything we teach came from them. But you know what happened to them? They got so educated they didn't need God anymore. Now they're declining and realize we need God. Do you realize the Church of God, even though it's still growing, is not growing at the pace it used to grow? Because now we've decided we can program it in, we can do something to bring it in, but it's not going to happen unless we get a hold of God and get a true anointing in. Hallelujah. It never fails. You can grow a congregation of people, but are you growing people that's going to make eternity their home? Brother Larry used to say, "That's preaching good. My shirt tail came out. I'm poking it in, so I must be doing okay." Glory. Because I know I ain't lost weight. Not lately. Church, and Floyd Lahan went to Durant Avenue in Georgia. They were thousands of dollars in debt. I remember him talking about he'd spend nights crying because he couldn't pay the bills, and he was trying to get God to help him because he had to turn the church around. He even admitted one time if he had known the trouble they had, he might not have gone there. But he said, I'll never forget one night God promised an outpouring of his spirit. And he said, I know it was just symbolism, but I opened the door of the church and stood in the doorway and kicked the devil out. He said, it probably didn't mean nothing to nobody but me. But he said, the next Sunday, God poured his spirit out in our altars. He said, from that Sunday till later, I took in several hundred members. The church grew. It is now called Coastal Cathedral. It's one of the largest churches in Savannah, Georgia. He said, God was blessing and things were going great. But he said, I wasn't happy. 23 years earlier, God had gave him a vision of a little church. The church blew up. When the smoke cleared, there was a bigger church there. It blew up. When the smoke cleared, there was an even bigger church there. And he said, for some reason, I was hungry to see what God could do because I remembered that vision 20-something years later. He said the overseer of California called him and said, I have a church. I know it's kind of stupid to call you. But he said, I really feel like God wanted me to call you. So they run about 150. So their tithes are a little over $5,000 a month. He said, they have no indebtedness, but that's all I can offer you. But I really feel like, he said, I politely refused him, told him I wasn't interested, that I was happy. He said, I'd be sitting in the living room at night trying to abide myself with a TV or something, and said the Lord would start speaking to me about that church in California, and said I'd go, I'm not going. And the wife would say, what? And he said, I'm not talking to you. He said she began to think I was going crazy. He said, and the Lord spoke to him one night and said, if you stay here, Floyd, I will bless you because you have been faithful to me. But he said, if you want to see my real blessing, go where I want you to go and do what I asked you to do. And the anointing that I give you will break the yoke of bondage. He went to California to preach. The overseer drove by that church on purpose. And as he went by the church, Floyd asked him to stop. He got out and stood looking at the church, and he said, now, it's got red carpet. And the overseer said, yeah. He said, the pulpit sits off on the left-hand side, like it was a Lutheran or Presbyterian church, and the pulpit wasn't in the center. It's off to the side. He said, yeah, how you know that? He said, saw that church 23 years ago. And I don't care what it costs, I want to be the pastor of that church. You want to see that church today, watch Jensen Franklin when he's preaching in California on Sunday night. Because that's the church Floyd went to that he built while he was there. Because he had an anointing, a fresh anointing of God. He'd had years of ministry, but God said, I'll give you a fresh anointing. Amen. Some of you have been here when he's come to this church, and even in 70s, he can out-preach most young men. He's not astounding with his theology, but there's an anointing in him that surpasses anything I've ever met and most men I know. And I'm telling you tonight, we need that kind of anointing. This world around us needs this church to get that kind of anointing that'll set us on fire from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. We don't need to be happy with just getting by, but we need to get in an altar and say, God, I'm hungry, and I'm not leaving until a renewing of your love and your power and your grace takes place in my life. And it ain't gonna be free. It's going to cost. But we've got to be willing to pay the price. Because God is wanting to move in Alabaster. There's a reason the mayor's calling the preachers together. Because God is trying to move in this town. There's a reason that every evangelist has stepped in this pulpit and said, God's got an anointing for this church. And it's time we get hungry enough to say, wait a minute. It's not a program. It's not something else. It's the anointing of God that's going to help us bring people in. Right? We've got to do things besides just sit here. But at the same time, without the anointing to draw and without the anointing to bless, they are not going to keep coming. And for that reason, we need God. Give me an anointing. An outpouring of your spirit, a touch of your love and your power in my life. Stand with me all over the house. Holy God, have your way. Holy God, have your way. Father, I thank you tonight for your love. Master, you said it is not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith God. Pour out your anointing. God, pour out your anointing. Let a fresh touch of your love fall.